All right, Rebbe, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Memtes. A lot to do today. 49. We are picking up on Memches. Amud Beis 48b, and we are picking up at Hahi Machto. We'll say it is five lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, our shir this week is dedicated by the Shrek family in commemoration of the upcoming yard site of Freida Bas Moshe Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in the Chama. And we'll say with that, let's begin. Hayi machta. So we'll say an interesting case, a needle. Hayi machta dishtachach vechaticha dekavda. So we'll say there was a needle that was found in a section of the liver. Savar Marbri Rav Yosef, Lemitrafa. So Marbri Rav Yosef wanted to say that it's a trefa. Amar Rav Ashi, what are you talking about? I don't understand. If a needle was just found in a stamped piece of flesh, would you have declared the animal a trefa? And of course not. See, I will say the only part of the animal, well, I should say the only part, but up until now, one of the only parts in which we were focused on the concept of a small puncture rendering it a trefa would have been the lungs. A small hole in the liver would not go ahead and make it a trefa. So what's the pshat? Ella Amar Rav Ashi. This is actually very interesting. Chazinan ikupa levar. So we'll see what we look at is as follows. Where is the head of the needle? Head is like where the eye is, and where is the pointy part of the needle? Ikupa levar. So we'll say if ultimately again the head of the needle is on the outside of the liver. So we'll say what that means is that the pointy part of the needle is inside the liver. Then nakuve nakiv vaasoi. Then ultimately, we assume that what happened over here, we assume that halacha lemaisa, it must have pierced other organs in order to go ahead and come into the liver. I kupa ligyo, Rabbi say ultimately again, if the head was inside the liver, then what? Simpona nakat vaasoi. Then Rabbi say it's possible that ultimately again, the way it kind of ended up there was through the trachea. If it ended up through the trachea, then it's possible that ultimately, again, it did not render the animal a trefa. And I will say, ultimately, again, this is only true of what? This is only true if it's a large needle. Rashi says, alimta, last line, alimta, machat ava she'eni yecholo lenakev derech kupa. So we'll say this would be a thick needle. However, again, aval katinta loshna kupa legyo, veloshna kupa lebar, Nekuve nakiv vasoi. So we'll say, so a thicker needle, when we see a larger needle, that refers to a needle with a larger head, which under normal circumstances would not be able to pierce through anything. But a smaller needle, whose head therefore is smaller and a bit sharper, could also go ahead and pierce through additional things, and therefore again we'd have to be choshesh that it rendered the animal a trefa, no matter which way you find the head of the needle situated in the liver. Umashna mimachat shenimtzeis tap of memtes ba'ovi beis hakosos. We'll say, why is this any different than a needle that is found in the wall of the stomach? Beis hakosos, so we'll say, is one of the stomachs of the animal. Because what's the halacha if we find the needle in one of the stomachs? Mitzat echad ksheira. So we'll say, if it protrudes from only one side of the stomach, the animal is kasher. Mishneit studin. But ultimately, again, if it comes out of both sides, then what? Then trefa. V'lo arminan lech se ikupa labar, ikupa ligyo. And I'll both say, in that case, if you notice, we don't make any distinction between if the head of the needle is inside, if the head of the needle is on the outside, it doesn't seem to make a difference. Amri, so we'll say, so why the difference between the case of the liver and the case of the stomach? The case of the liver, we seem to be looking at how the needle itself is embedded in the liver. In the case of the stomach, I will say, what we essentially look for is if it goes ahead and protrudes from one side or from two sides. So why is it that in the case of the liver, we look at the positioning of the needle versus the stomach where we don't? To which the Gemara says, Amri Hasam, Kevan di'ika ochlim umashkim. Ema ochlim umashkim dachkua. So Rabbi say the case of the stomach is different. Why? Because in the case of the stomach, Rabbi say, you could find a situation where halacha lemaisa, that needle got into the stomach without perforating anything. How? Mixed in with food. So we'll say because of you have food and drink that are forcing it down, it's possible that lemaisa, again, it got in without perforating anything. Therefore, all we look for is whether or not the needle perforated the stomach on both sides. But halacha lemaisa, That same logic does not apply to the liver. Okay. Hahu machta dishtachach bisimpuna rava. So we'll say there was, bisimpuna rava de kavda. So we'll say there was a needle that was found in a large blood vessel in the liver. So what's the halacha? Huna mar breid ravidi taref. So we'll say huna mar breid ravidi. Huna mar, that was his name, the son of ravidi, went ahead and declared it to be treif. Rav Ada bar Menyumi machshiroso. Rav Ada bar Menyumi ultimately said that what? Said that it was kosher. All right. Asu shailuha l'ravina. So they well, it's obviously that in machlokes and halacha, what to do with this liver? They went and they asked Ravina, and Ravina said, "Amarluhu shakilu glima ditrufoi. Go ahead and seize the cloak of the person who declared it to be treif." Which is another way of saying what? The guy who went ahead and said it was treif made an erroneous ruling. As a result, the owner of the liver lost out on his animal, and the Rav who paskined in the wrong way is financially liable to the person ultimately to whom he delivered the wrong side. Now, by the way, understand, we've touched on this concept before about, you know, what we'll call wrongful psak liability. So remember again, the halacha is different in different kinds of situations depending on the nature of the mistake. And again, whether or not this statement is meant literally or figuratively, that doesn't matter. For our purposes, what it means is that Allah Chalamaisa, the liver is really kosher. Hahi kashisa the ishtachach bimara. So we'll listen to this next case. There was a kashasa, Rasa Rashi says, is a date pit. There was a date pit which was found inside the gallbladder. Amar Ravashi, ki avina b'Ravkana amar havadai simpuna nakat. So I'll say, Rav Kana said, this certainly must have come down through the trachea to the right. So ultimately, when we say simpona naka, so remember again, that's if you go back, if we had this in yesterday's daf, that ultimately, again, this was the derech hakana nichnas coming through the trachea into the bronchial tubes through the lung tissue, minas simponos lebasar. And I will say, the idea with this, by the way, is that it could come down ultimately in a way that did not pierce any vital organs. So the Gemara says, Va'asai, afagav delo kanafka, mirbal hu derabil le. Let's take a look at Rashi. Va'afagav delo nafka, sheni cholalotzeis derech ha-simpon, kisharotzen lo-siya, shat-simpon dachuk. So we'll say, what's interesting about this is to note as follows, that even though halacha l'maaseh, if you were to try to extract the pit, supposedly the way that it came into the body, you would be unable to do so. Nevertheless, that's okay. Just because you can't get it out that way doesn't mean that it didn't come in that way. For two simple reasons. Number one is gravity, and ultimately, again, number two, which is really saying, and number two is the movements of the animal. The movements of the animal itself could force the pit down that way. Bahani mili de diklo. But this is only true with the pit of a date palm. Aval de zesa. But if it was an olive pit, mivza baza. So we'll say, apparently olive pits are sharper than date pits. And with an olive pit, there would be a real concern that if it came down, it would pierce some of the vital organs. Amr Yochanan, lama nikra shma reya. So Rabbi Yochanan says, why is it that the lungs are called reya? Shemeira sein es hainayim. Because ultimately, again, they illuminate the eyes. Well, so what that means is apparently eating the lungs is good for your eyesight. La'achila o al yidei samanim. So we'll say, if when we talk about that eating the lungs is good for your eyesight, does that just mean eating the lungs themselves? Or maybe, it's when it's mixed with herbs and some type of, you know, medicinal additives. So Tashma, we can answer this. Dam Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Avza bezuza, v'reya dida ba'arba. We'll say, if a goose, right, if a goose or a duck is sold for one zuz, its lungs are worth four. Now, it says the Gemara of Isakadai Tchalachila, if you say that the value of the lungs, right, they will call it the medicinal value of lungs, is just through straight consumption, just eating it. Then we'll say, what does that mean? If the goose is worth one zuz, then the lungs are worth four. I have a very simple idea. Linkud pezuza. So then just make sure to go ahead and purchase the goose for one zuz. And guess what? You know what comes along with the goose? The lungs, right? And what happens? So the velecho, Ela alide saman rav. So rather, what it means is the real value of the lungs is ultimately, again, when it's mixed together with other medicinal herbs and additives. Okay. In kiva reya hechad timemash mishayadei ditapcha. Just listen to this next case. So let's say again, we do find a perforation in the lungs, which I will say, as we've already established, establishes the animal as a trefa. But here's the concern. We'll say, we'll get to this. You know, one of the things that the shochet does, or somebody does, after the animal is shechted, is we go ahead and he runs his hands over the lungs. Essentially, we'll say, this is actually quite interesting. I'll share with you, somebody sent me a great video about this. Don't watch it within a couple of hours of mealtime. I would say, but it's amazing. What the shochet does is literally, or it doesn't even shochet, it's something called the bodek also, is runs his hands ungloved. It's got to be ungloved, right? Over the surface area of the lungs to feel for anything. Because sometimes, again, just like an ocular inspection is not enough. You have to mamish feel it. So the interesting shot is as follows. What happens if there's a perforation, but the perforation is on an area where the shochet ran his hands? So this is actually quite interesting. What are we choshesh for? Maybe the shochet did something. Or maybe something happened during the inspection. So talinon, alo talinon, can we go ahead and bitola, the perforation in the lungs, in the shochet or not? So says the Gemara. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says the second wide line. Rashi's pointing out over here, obviously, so you have to have some circumstantial grounds to be able to even raise this question. You know, the shochet pulled on something too hard, or he moved something, you know, a bit too quickly. It has to be that the metzius is such that there's the possibility that maybe actually the shochet did this. So do we have the ability to be told of this on the shochet or not? So Rav Adar Bar Nasan Amar Talinan. Rav Adar Bar Nasan says, yes. Under certain circumstances where you have what's called raglayim ledover, you can go ahead and be tola. You could be tola, ultimately, again, on the shochet. Marzushrei Dravami, Amar lo talinon. Marzushrei Dravami says, no, you cannot be tola. So the Gemara says, Marzushrei Dravami, Amar lo talinon. Ve'elchas Rabose, what's talocha? Talinon. Rabose, now obviously, this halacha is much more specific than the way the Gemara is making it out over here. But again, it is fascinating nevertheless, which is that halacha lamaisa, if you do have a circumstance where there's strong concern that perhaps, again, the imperfection in the lung was created by some type of, we'll call it negligence on the part of the shochet, obviously there is some threshold that you have to meet in order to prove that, but that halacha lamaisa, that would be acceptable. I mean, let me say it differently. Acceptable meaning the animal would still be kosher and would not be rendered a treifa. I'm going to show Rabbi Avahu. So Shmuel Brei Rav Avahu said as follows. Abba, my father, Mereshe Kali Dirafram Abba, was one of the heads of the Kala. Let's remember again, Kala refers to the gathering of Talmidei Chachamim. Ultimately, again, learn Torah often during the Yamim Tovim. So my father was one of the heads of the Kala of Rafram. Va'amar, he said the following. Va'amar Talinon. And ultimately, again, he said that we could go ahead and be told on Shochet negligence. Amrua Kamei Laha, Dimar Zucha Brei Rav Mari, Velo Kibla. So they said this over ultimately again, and it was not, mekabel it. Va'amara misharshia kavase de'avuha de'abba mistabra. It would seem to be clear that the halacha should align like your father's father. Deha talinan bezeiv, because we'll say ultimately again we know that we have cases where halacha lemaisa, if an animal came along and took a certain part of the body, for example, Rashi says over here, it's four lines down in the white lines of Rashi. We'll say if you have intestines of an animal lying around and a wolf came along and took them, and then when the wolf brought them back, the intestine was perforated. We don't see Rabbo say that, you know what, maybe halacha lemaisa, there was a perforation in the intestines before the wolf ever took it. Rather, we're told that the perforation in the wolf itself. So you see from here, that's what Rabbo say, that when we have reasons ultimately to attribute the perforation or the imperfection to some external circumstance, we do that. So just like we'll be tola on the ze'ev, we'll be tola, if we have grounds to, on the negligence of the shochet as well. Murna. We'll say, what about the case of Murna? What's Murna? Rashi says Murna, five lines down in the wide lines of Rashi. Tola'as hayotis min hareya v'nakva. So we'll say, this is some type of worm, some type of parasitic worm that comes out of the lungs, but makes a perforation. So it comes out of the lungs and perforates the lungs. So we'll say, what's the status? So we'll say, so remember again, this is actually fascinating. I find this after the Shechita. So we'll say, so watch this. What's the Shaila? When did the worm come out? If the worm came out before Shechita, the animal is a trefa. If the worm came out after Shechita, the animal is fine. Says the Gemara, Pligi bar Rav Yosef bar Dosoi v'Rabbanon. So what's the machlokes? Chadomer called them Shechita Parish. So one opinion says that no, we could assume the worm came out before Shechita, and therefore Allah Lamais the animal is a treva. The Chadomer the Acher Shechita Parish. Another opinion says no, you could assume it came out after Shechita, and the animal is fine. V'Hilchasa, it will say what's the halacha the Acher Shechita Parish. So we'll say the halacha says that we could assume that the worm came out after Shechita, and the animal therefore is kasher. Reb Shimon Omer ad shetin nakev. So also Reb Shimon says that halacha lemaisa, the animal is only a trefa until the lung becomes perforated, until the inner bronchial tubes. So we'll say first wide line, mem testament aleph, ad shetin nakev lesimkon gadol. The animal only becomes a trefa when the lung is perforated until you get to the large bronchial tube. Yosef Rav Acha bar Abba Kameid Rav Huna, Yosef Ekamar, Amar Rabbi Maloch. Rabbi Maloch said as follows, Amar Yerushua ben Levi, Halacha Kreb Shimon. That Halacha indeed follows Rav Shimon, Rabosai, that ultimately, again, a simple perforation will not be enough until the perforation reaches all the way to the inner bronchial tubes. Amar Lei, Maloch Aravo Kamers, are you talking about Maloch from Arabia? Ain Halacha, so he said, Ain Halacha Kreb Shimon Kamar. He didn't say that Halacha follows Rav Shimon, just the opposite. He said the Halacha doesn't follow Rav Shimon. To which the Gemara says, Kisalik Rabbi Zera, Ashkeche l'Rabbivi diyasev v'ka'amar. So Rabbi Zera came to Eretz Yisrael. He found Rabbivi who was sitting and saying as follows, Amar Ab Malach, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Halacha k'Rab Shimon. That the Halacha does indeed follow Rab Shimon. Amar Lechaye demar, Da'an Rav Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba Rav Asi, Ikloin la'asrei de Rabbi Malach. So we went to the city of Rabbi Malach, Va'amri Lei, I amar mar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Va'amar lan, ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. And we asked him straight out, Rabbi Maloch, do you hold that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? And he told us explicitly, that halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon. Ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon amri. Va'at ma biyadcha. So what do you have to retort to this? Amar lei, hachem Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami, Rabbi Yishom Levi, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So let's say what we have is Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami sitting there, Rabbi Yishom Levi, that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, but to which the Gemara says, ve'in halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. That the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon. In other words, I will say that any type of perforation in the lung, well, again, assuming that it's a perforation of both the inner and outer membranes, will ultimately cause the animal to be a trefa, even if the perforation does not extend all the way to the inner bronchial tubes. Nikva hakeva. So we'll say ultimately again if the stomach was perforated. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Chelev shagabe keva kohanim nagu ba hefter kabi shmo. Let's listen to this. We're switching gears for just a moment, and we're going to come back. So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani said to Rabbi Oshia, the chelev, the fat that is around the keva, that is around one of the stomachs. So the kohanim are nohig to eat that. In other words, we'll say there's a mesora. The keva is one of the portions of the animal that you give to the kohen. So the kohanim have a masorah that the fat which surrounds that stomach is one of the permitted forms of fat. Right? It's not a schelev iser, but rather again it's heter. So the kohanim were noik heter bo, like who? Kirabi Yishmal. And the Basir Bishmal is the one who espoused this concept that such chelev is permitted. Amar Mishum Avosav. Because Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his forefathers that the chelev around the keva is permitted. And I will say, how do you remember this? V'simanich, the way to remember this is, Yishmal Kohana Misayeya Kohani. Rabbi Shmuel, the Kohen, helps out the Kohen. He's helping a brother out, right? The Basir, in other words, right? Rabbi Shmuel, the Kohen, ultimately, again, helps out his fellow brethren. We'll discuss what this means just more. Mahi, so what was the words? What are you talking about? Like, what does this whole thing mean? Here we go. Disanya. We'll say, because we learned in the Braisa. This is actually a very beautiful Gemara. Kosi Baruch Hu Espinei Yisrael. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, this is by Birchas Kohanim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, Dabra Aaron Velbanav Leimar, Kosi Baruch Hu Espinei Yisrael Amar Lahem. So shall you bless Bnei Yisrael, say unto them. And then I will say, the Pesukim go on to Yivarecha Hashem V'yishmarecha, so on and so forth. So watch this. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Lamadnu bracha liYisrael mipi kohanim." So say, what do we see? We see that the bracha from Klal Yisrael comes from the mouths of the kohanim. So the kohanim are commanded to bless Klal Yisrael. The kohanim atzman lo lamadnu. But where did the kohanim get bracha from? Right, good shayla. We learn from here that the Kohanim ultimately have to give bracha to Klal Yisrael, but from whom do the Kohanim receive bracha? Kishu Omer, when the Pasuk says, Va'ani avarechem, I will bless them. Havi Omer Kohanim, so the way Rabbi Shmuel darshins it is, Va'ani avarechem means as follows. Havi Omer, Kohanim avarechem li Yisrael. First Pasuk tells that Kohanim bless the Jewish people. Va'akadosh Baruch Hu mevarech le'kohanim. So also Rabbi Shmuel has a very novel interpretation. He says that phrase, Va'ani avarechem, means that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless the Kohanim. So first God tells the Kohanim to go ahead and bless Klal Yisrael. V'kosiv Aruch Hu es b'nei Yisrael. Then the three psukim, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha, Yo'er, so on and so forth. And then the section ends, V'samu es shemi al b'nei Yisrael, Va'ani avarechem. You shall place my name upon the Jewish people, and I will bless them. So what Rabbi Shmuel says, I will bless them, means who? God will bless the Kohanim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Lamadnu bracha liYisrael mipi Kohanim. So we'll say, so the Pesukim teach us that the Kohanim bless Klal Yisrael. But mipi gvura lo lamadnu. But we'll say, all I know is that Kohanim bless Klal Yisrael. How do I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also blesses Klal Yisrael? Kishu Omer va'ani avarechem, Rabbi Kiva from the Pasuk says, and I will bless them. Havi Omer Kohanim avarechem liYisrael. VaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadam. Rabbi said, we learn from there that what? The Kohanim bless Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also agrees with the blessing of the Kohanim. So we'll say, Machlokas Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel, about how to interpret the phrase, Va'ani avarechem, and I will bless them. Kohen Rabbi Shmuel, that means that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to the Kohanim. According to Rabbi Akiva, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim to the bracha of the Kohanim for Klal Yisrael. Or in other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses Klal Yisrael. El Rabbi Akiva, bracha le-Kohanim in Elis. We'll say, where does Rabbi Akiva learn that Kohanim also get a bracha? From where do we know that? To which the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, Neva Avarecha Mivarechecha. We'll say from the Pasuk, ultimately again in Lech Lecha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram that what? Whoever blesses your children will be blessed. So therefore, if the Kohanim bless Klal Yisrael, then what? Then of course they will be blessed as well. Umay, Mr. We'll say fine. So we'll say, so first of all, the Gemara is pointing out over here that this is Rabbi Shmuel, who always had the back of Kohanim, right? Why? We'll say, well, he always had I've got your back, Kohanim. Why? We'll say, because remember, he interprets that phrase, Va'ani Avarechem, as understanding that the Kohanim get a special bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, why does he interpret it that way? Because he's a member of the tribe, right? Ultimately, again, he's a fellow Kohen. So I'll say, this is just a lead-up. Umay Messiah the Kohanim. So I'll say, what does it mean that Rabbi Shmuel helped out the Kohanim by permitting the fat around the keva? Demukila lebirkas kohanim. Sorry, before that. What does it mean he helped out the Kohanim? Demukila lebirkas kohanim b'makom bracha d'Yisrael. Because I will say, it's nice that he established the pasuk, or it's the source, that Kohanim get bracha in the same psukim that talks about Klal Yisrael getting bracha. So you will say, therefore, the same psukim talk about Kohanim giving Klal Yisrael brachos, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu giving Kohanim brachos, to which the Gemara says, where do we get this there? Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his forefathers about the fat around the keva. Here we go. This sanya. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, and all of the fat that is around the kerev. So the Gemara says as follows, Amud Beis, Lahavi chelev shal gabi hadakin divrei Bishmol. So we'll say, this comes to include what? The fat that is around the intestines. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lahavi chelev shal gabi hakeva. So we'll say, so therefore again, Rabbi Shmuel understands that the fat that's around the intestines, that's the fat ultimately again that has the status of chalev, but ultimately again the fat around the keva, that is permitted. Rabbi Kiva says, no, lahavi chalev shagabi akeva. It comes to include even the fat that is around the keva itself. Look at Rashi. Chalev shala dakin lekamon, arminon resh maya ba'amsa boy gerira. Vezeo chalev shala dakin, So fundamental machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel about the chalev that's around the keva. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's permitted. Rabbi Akiva says that it is aser. Or mini, with Gemara Zikasha. So the pasuk says the chalev that's around the kerev. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ma chalev hamechasas akerev karum v'niklof. Just like Rabbi say, the chalev that is around the kerev, right? Ultimately, again, is karum v'niklof, which Rabbi say means it has a membrane, right, and it is easily peeled off. Af kol karum v'niklof. So to any other form of chalev, Rabbi say that has a membrane and can easily be peeled off would also have the status of chalev. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Machilev Hamechasa Sakerev, Tosev Korum V'niklof. So we'll say, just like the Chilev that covers the Kerev, the Chilev that carries Kerev, we'll say, literally drapes over it, has a membrane and can be peeled back. Afkol Tosev Korum V'niklof. So to any type of Chilev, Rabbi said, that what? That drapes over the organ, ultimately has a membrane and can be easily peeled off, will also be included as Chilev. Shalach Rav Mishred Rabbi Yochanan. Kachi hatsa shal Mishnah. Right? Ultimately, again, I will say this is the ruling of our Mishnah. The Eivuch Kamaisa. And therefore, we have to reverse the previous ruling. My chaz is the afchis Kamaisa. Why do you make the choice to reverse the previous ruling, the earlier ruling? Eivuch Basraisa. Go ahead and instead what? Reverse the latter ruling. Shani hocha, kevan diktani ma dafka. So we'll say ultimately again, since it said ma, so we'll say that ma means that the ruling is explicit, therefore we choose to go ahead and reverse the later ruling. I'm sorry, the earlier ruling. Yacha, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. If that's the case, then it does not align with Rabbi Shmuel, rather it aligns with the statement of Rabbi Akiva. Amram Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak, Mishum Avosav. So ultimately again, Rabbi Shmuel said over his statement in the name of his forefathers, Velei lo svirolei, but he himself does not subscribe to it. Fine. Amarav, so we'll say we go back to Amarav. Chilev tar, sosin. Tame eno sosin. So we'll say this is actually a very interesting discussion. So now the Gemara says as follows, that halacha lemaisa, it is only chilev that is tahar, that has the ability to go ahead and plug up a hole in an organ. Chilev that is tame does not have the ability to do so. So what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi chilev tar sosim kigon dakin shenikvu the chilev hakan sosim es anekiv kshera the chilev tar aduk ma'od v'havistima ma'al yasa. So what the Gemara is saying is as follows: permitted chilev has the ability to go ahead and plug up a hole in the organ which it covers, as opposed to chilev tame, which also means chilev that is prohibited for consumption, does not have this same property. Yeah. So apparently, also what the Gemara is teaching me over here, what Rav is teaching me over here, is that halacha lemaisa, not even though we use this chalev as a generic term for all fats, not all chalev inside the animal has the same properties. Apparently, again, the chalev which is permitted for consumption has certain, I guess, what we'll call adhesive properties. So if the chalev sits on the organ develops a hole. The chalev has the properties to seal that hole. Masha'inkin chalev tame, which is chilev, which is prohibited for consumption, if a hole develops in the organ upon which it is situated, that chilev does not have the same adhesive properties and cannot plug the hole. If you look at Rashi, Rashi's chilev tarso, same can go dakin. For example, let's say the chilev around the intestines. So the chenikvu v'chilev akansa, so same as anakiv ksheira, the chilev tar aduk tamay enon so same can go keres or abmeses. Fine. So the says as follows. Rav Sheshe says, no, there's no distinction in the adhesive qualities of chalev. All chalev has the ability to plug up a hole in the organ upon which it is situated. By Rav Zera says, chalev chayamai. What about the chilev of a chaya? So we'll say chaya is a non-domesticated animal, like a deer. Right? What about the chilev of a chaya? Right? Does the chilev of a chaya have this adhesive abilities or not? Or qualities or not? May. So the Gemara says, dafka amar chilev tar, so say behind nami tar. So we'll say, do we say, chilev tar means any chilev which is permitted for consumption, or any chilev, right? So we'll say, so this would also be chilev tar of a chaya as well. Old dilma. Mishum de mehadik, or I will say maybe again, it's because a behemah has certain behemah's chilev has certain unique adhesive qualities, whereas the chilev of a chaya does not. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, I don't understand. Mighty boyle, I don't understand why. What the problem was over here? Nihid shari ba'achila. Even though I will say the chilev of let's say a chaya will be permitted for consumption, ahu de lo mehadik. That doesn't necessarily mean that it has these adhesive qualities. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that it could be that in the chilev of a chayo, ultimately, again, that chilev does not have the ability to plug a hole, because maybe it doesn't have these adhesive qualities. Hahu nakav, disas machilev tamis. Well, so listen to this. So there was a case of a part of an animal which developed a hole, and the hole was plugged up by chilev tamis. The asa lekamei derava. The case came before Rava. So Rava said, Amar Rava, lemay nechushla. So what should we be concerned about? Chada daha amar Rav Sheshes chilev tamei nami sosim. So we'll say, number one, this is what we'll say essentially what Rav is going to say over here is the animal is fine on two accounts. Number one, Rav Sheshes said that even chilev tamei has adhesive qualities and therefore has the ability to plug up this hole. That's number one. Number two, va'od ha'torah chasa amamonim sheyisrael. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting. Furthermore, the Ribono Shel Olam is very careful with our money. I'll say, so what does that mean? What that sounds like over here is, the halacha doesn't want to cause the Jew a loss, so therefore whenever there is the ability to permit something, we will permit it. Look at Drashu just a moment. HaTorah Chasa, HaTorah Skonim Nafgalon Mivitziva HaKoin Opinu Es Habayis. The Terem Yavo HaKoin, Liros Es HaNega, V'lo Itama. So say, so where do we learn out this concept, by the way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about our money, that he wants us to preserve our resources. But this is actually interesting. We see this by Tzaras. Because what happens by Tzaras? By Tzaras, I'll say the halacha is, the kohen has to come in and declare the home sarua, or menuga. So I say, so that's the halacha. What do we say? Before the kohen gets there, get your stuff out. Get your stuff out. Because before the official declaration, so the stuff that is within the home could still remain tahor. Therefore, we'll say, what do you see from here? Now, what does that mean? Right, in just a moment when the coin gets there, right, he's going to declare it, the house has saras, and everything becomes tamei. So you see from here, I will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion on our resources. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be able to preserve our resources. Amar Rav Meir, v'chi matay m'sham olam Torah, l'am d'shalei ra'a koin esanega, v'lo yomar tamei ad shiyu akhari, din Torah, so we'll say, so therefore again, halacha l'maisa, this is where we come up with the concept of HaTorah chasa amamonim sheyisra. So therefore, again, I will say, so Rava comes along and says, I think that this animal should be permitted on two levels. Number one, Rav Sheshes says that even chilev tamei plugs holes. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion on our money. Therefore, the animal is kosher. Amalei Rapa v'Lerava, v'Yisura d'Oraisa, v'At Amrit HaTorah chasa amamonim sheyisra. What are you talking about? What are you doing? So, comes along to Rav Papa says, Rav, are you out of your mind? Meaning, you're dealing over with an Isra D'Oraisa, and you're bringing up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have compassion or wants to be considerate of our financial resources. Rav says, at the end of the day, halacha l'maisa, if something is not good, it's not good. And that is independent of whether the preservation of our resources or the desire not to cause someone a financial loss, I'll say, doesn't, Rav Papa suggests, doesn't really come into this discussion over here. Look at Rashi, first white line in Rashi. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, Rav, kilomar ha, Rav damar le'el, tamei eno sosem, utrefa, yisur daraisihi, v'yesh lano le'lech achar ha-machmir. So Rav Papa comes along and says to Rava, I don't understand. This is a situation of a machlokes, Rav Osai. It is a machlokes, what to do about chelev trefa, right? Chelev tamei, I should say. So you're saying, well, there's an opinion that says that it's kosher. And furthermore, again, a Torah chasal mona sheisrael. To which Rav Papa says, are you crazy? Number one, it's a machlokes. It's a machlokes, then Rav Papa says, what are you dealing with over here? It's a safek daraisa. If it's safek daraisa, how do you resolve a safek daraisa? L'chumra. So the animal should actually be treif. And nothing to do with a Torah chasal mona sheisrael. Minyumin kan duka igli le bastaka de dufsha. So it says, listen to this. So Minyumin, who was a, who Minyumin is his name, was ultimately, again, he was a jug salesman, Mocher Kadim. He used to sell jugs. So what happens? Igli lay bistaka de dufsha. So I'll say one time he had a jug filled with honey, and he left it uncovered overnight. He left it uncovered overnight. Now watch this. Asla kamidi Rava. So I'll say he came before Rava. Amar Rava. So Rava says, so now what's his shayla? His shayla is mashkin megulin. Remember again, there's the gzeira of Chazal, that if you leave liquid uncovered overnight, you're not allowed to drink it. Why? Out of a concern of snake venom being injected into it. Right? So we'll say, so what happens? So Minyumin is a jug salesman. He had a jug filled with honey. He left the honey open overnight. He comes with a Rava, Rava, Rebbe, what should I do? So Rava said, I think you're good. L'may nechosh, leh. Chado, what should we be concerned about? Chado disnan, shlosha mashkin asurim, mishum gilui, hayayin v'hamayin v'acholof, ushar mashkin mutarim. So number one, the halach is only three types of liquid you have to worry about. Alts mashkin megulim. And what are they? Wine, water, and milk. We'll say, apparently, again, these are the only three liquids that you have to worry about the infusion of snake venom. Ushar kalamashkin mutarin. But other forms of liquid are totally fine. Va'od ha'tora chasa amamonu she'yisrael. Furthermore, again, so we'll say, what Rabbi keeps trying to seem to be saying is, we try to be makel whenever it comes to a situation of financial loss. So if you're going to encounter a financial loss, we'd like to be makel to save you the financial loss. So we'll say everybody's jumping on Rava today. So says, Rava, what are you talking about? Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon, v'sakanas nefashos, v'at amrit v'atara chasam osha Yisrael. So what are you talking about? First of all, there's a sheet of Rabbi Shimon, number one. Number two, this is sakanas nefashos, I will say. So again, this is sakanas nefashos, Rava. And you're talking about saving people from financial loss in the case of sakanas nefashos? So we'll say, what's Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon Mahi. What do you think about Rabbi Shimon? Sanyo, Chamisha imam Mishim Gilui. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that there are five different liquids that are not subject to the laws of Gilui, being left open overnight. And what are they? Sir, brine, chomez, vinegar, shemen, oil, dvash, honey, murias. So we'll say murias is like fish innards, right? Fish innards. Rabbi Shimon says, Af yesh by Mishim Gilui. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Even these liquids are subject to the prohibition of Gilui. So we'll say, so the Gemara is saying, Rava, there is an opinion who holds that even honey, so we'll say for our purposes, even honey is ultimately again subject to the prohibition of Gilui. It's a suffix sakanas nefashos. If it's suffix sakanas nefashos, then how can you go ahead and rule leniently? And just because you want to save someone from a financial loss, that's very noble, very beautiful. But at the end of the day, it's suffix sakanas nefashos. And look, Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon, Amira isi nacha sheshasat sir bitzidon. Rabbi Shimon says, I saw it myself. I saw a snake drink brine in Sidon. We both say, this is an incredible line in Gemara. Amr said to Rabbi Shimon, Shat Yahava, that snake was a meshug in the snake, right? Shat Yahava. And I both say, Ve'ein mevien raya min hashotim. I both say, by the way, that's not just a din in snakes, right? A din in life. Ve'ein mevien raya min hashotim. I both say, unfortunately, sometimes we think because we see something or we hear someone say something that it must be correct, or maybe sometimes you hear a lot of people saying something, therefore it must be correct. A person always has to be careful. Ein mevien raya min hashotim. Klal gadol in life. So Amr lei. Odi l'miha, so we'll say, so therefore they're jumping on Rava, and they're saying to Rava, what are you doing? How can you possibly permit this uncovered honey? Amr Lei, they said to him, Odi l'miha spitzir, so Rabbi Shimon said, all right, at least agree to me when it comes to brine. Dehara papa rafun b'rid rav yoshev rabbani ki havu lehu giluya shadu lei b'tzir. We'll say, interestingly enough, these rabbis, Rapapa, Rafun, Rav Yavishur, Rabbanon, when they had a liquid that was left open overnight, I'll say what they would do is, they would mix it in ultimately with, they would mix it in with tzir, with brine. Rashi says over here, Dehar Rapapa, v'chihechi debetzir lesilchasa kavase, bedvash nami lesilchasa kavase. So Amrle, odle miha bedvash, so at least agree with me when it comes to honey. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar kai kavase. Because ultimately, again, we hold it, Rabbi Shimon Elazar. The Sanya bechin hayu Rabbi Shimon Elazar oser bidvash. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon Elazar dashed in. I will say that ultimately, what it's asr even with dvash. So we'll say, so first of all, again, that's actually the Shcholach Paskins, that with Gilui we're concerned even with dvash, and therefore they said to Rava that again, even if you want to say that at the end of the day, maybe you could find room to say there were certain types of liquids, halacha lemaisa, maybe you would say that halacha lemaisa, they wouldn't be subject to Gilui, but certainly when it comes to honey, it would be subject to the prohibition of Gilui as well. And therefore again, they jumped on Rava for permitting Minyumi's bucket of honey that was left open overnight, because Minyumi said, number one, Gilui only applies to three liquids. They said, number one, Rava, you're wrong on that account. It applies to a much larger number than three liquids. And for sure, honey is part of that category as well. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can't permit it. Number two, there's also a suffix sakanas nefashos. When it comes to suffix sakanas nefashos, you don't say chasa Torah al mamonan shel Yisrael. So we'll say, so first of all, we've spent time on this Isser of Gilui. So again, we're not really, Shulchan Aruch says, we're not really makbid on this so much today, because again, we live in more urban areas. Again, obviously this was made in response to a mitzias, to a reality of snakes and leaving liquids open overnight and snakes injecting venom. So because again, that mitzias, we don't have that mitzias now. Generally, again, we're more makel on these halachos, although there are still some who are makbid on this, not to go ahead and drink liquids that are left open overnight. So let's just begin the next time. Rava. Chelav asay kekova, eno sosim. All right, so you know what, actually, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with this over today. So say, just a reminder that today, Ari, what time does the campaign start?
11:00.
Today, at 11 a.m., begins the Jules charity campaign, the match cause match campaign. I will say, this is a 24-hour campaign. What's the goal?
$500.
Well, say, I'm sure all of you are familiar with Jules. Jules is a one-of-a-kind school that provides education for children with all different types of special needs, developmental, physical disabilities, and I will say, all you have to do is spend 5 minutes there, and you will see the most incredible chassadim like you've ever seen in your life. Teachers like you've never seen, administrators like you've never seen, and the purest of neshamas like you've never seen. Every donation is how much? Quadrupled? Quadruple. So we'll say you give $100, mommy should get your name up in lights for $400. Incredible. I will say, but on a serious note, if you have children who benefit from it, then ultimately, again, certainly you give. And if your children don't have those challenges, then all the more so you have an obligation to give Shabbat and Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Baruch Hashem, there is a place, a Makom Kadosh, to take care of these precious neshamas. This is a crown jewel, literally in our community's crown, and it behooves each of us to support it.
Yeah.